This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار نعوذ بالله من النار ومن أهل النار. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His assistance, we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our souls and the consequences of our actions. He whom Allah guides, no one can misguide. And he whom Allah allows to go astray, no one can guide. And I bear witness and testify that Allah is alone without any partners. And that I bear witness and testify that our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is the final messenger. O you who have believed, do not die. O you who have believed, place a barrier between you and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not die as Muslims. O you who have believed, be conscious and mindful of Allah and say that which is upright. For if you do so, Allah will rectify your actions for you and forgive you your sins. And whomever obeys Allah and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they have attained the highest of success. As to what follows, the best narrative is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. And the best of guidance is the guidance of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the worst of affairs are invented matters. And every invented matter in this beautiful religion of ours, Islam, will lead astray. And everything that leads astray leads to the hellfire. We seek refuge in Allah from the hellfire and the people of the hellfire. My dear brothers and respected sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you peace and tranquility. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase you in good action. Furthermore, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite us with our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the highest of Jannah. My dear brothers and respected sisters, it is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim in their authentic books, may Allah have mercy upon them, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prayed qiyam, led the companions in qiyam in the month of Ramadan. He went out on the first night and a few people followed him in prayer. And the next day, as people awoke, the news spread that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had prayed qiyam the previous night. So that following night, that second night, more companions, more people gathered to pray with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And so following that night, the news got out, and on the third night, more people gathered, so much so, because of what they heard of the prayer of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so they can pray with him and attain the mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam led them in salah. And the fourth night, the masjid, the news had reached all of Medina, and the fourth night the masjid was overflowing, it was packed. And the people were waiting for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to enter the masjid so he can lead them in qiyam as he has done or as he did in the previous nights. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was nowhere to be seen. So a man called out to the Prophet and he said, As-salah, prayer, as if he were trying to remind the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam or inform him that we are waiting for you so that you can come out and lead us in salah. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not respond. And so they were on this, or in this state, until the time of Fajr, where the Adhan was called for Fajr, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam entered the masjid to lead Salatul Fajr. And after the Salah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam praised Allah and testified to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said to the people, إِنِّي لَنْ يَخْفَى عَلَيَّ مَكَانُكُمْ. Verily, I was aware of where you were. I knew that you were in the masjid. You want me to come out and pray. لَكِنِّي خَشَيْتُ أَن تُفْرَضَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَتَعْجِزُوا عَنْهَا. But the reason I did not come out to you, the reason I did not lead you in Qiyam as I had done in the previous nights, was out of fear that it might be legislated upon you, it might become a wajib, an obligation upon you that you must fulfill, otherwise you will be sinful. And I did not want you to be in that position, that it becomes legislated and then you turn away from the Qiyam al-Layl. And in Ramadan, it's known as Taraweeh. Anything that we pray after Maghrib is considered is under the definition of Qiyamul Layl. And so the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, through his actions in Ramadan, taught us the sunnah of Qiyam, of praying and standing in the night for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another narration that is mentioned by At-Tirmidhi wa Nasa'i wa Abu Dawood and others, on the authority of Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that we fasted with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Ramadan, and he did not come out to lead us until the last 7 nights of Ramadan. On the 7th night, he came out and he led the people in Qiyam, and we prayed a third of the night. Then when it was the following night, the 6th night, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not come out. The night after that, the 5th night, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came out, and he recited parts of the night. He led parts of the night. And so, Abu Dharr says, I told the Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, would you not complete the recitation for us? Would you not lead us the rest of the night? So the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, إِنَّهُ مَنْ قَامَ مع الإمام حتى ينصرف فإنه يعدل قيام الليل. So he said, whoever prays with the Imam until the Imam leaves, until the Imam stops the prayer and leaves, it's as if he prayed the whole night. And this is to put the heart of Abu Dharr at ease. That it's, I know I'm not leading you the remainder of the night, but you have gotten the reward for the remainder of the night. The night after that, the 4th night, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not appear. And then when it was the 3rd night, the last, from the last days of Ramadan, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gathered his wives and his family, and the people gathered and they prayed. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam led Qiyamul Layl until the people were fearful that they were going to miss suhoor, the meal that we have before starting our fast, or before we start abstaining from food and drink and the nullifiers of fasting. And so these two ahadith, and then after that night he did not pray the remainder, the last two nights of Ramadan. But from these ahadith we can extract the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the month of Ramadan, in this blessed month. And that is The sunnah of qiyam, of qiyamul layl, the standing in prayer in the night for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and its importance. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was not persistent on it out of fear that it might be legislated upon us. But we know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was the most knowledgeable of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was the most knowledgeable in knowing what gets us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what would take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he deemed it important that he makes this a sunnah for the people that come after him, for the people that follow, as a guidance so that we can attain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order to see the significance of the action, this action of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in this month, we have to corroborate this with other ahadith outside the month of Ramadan. Meaning, the importance of qiyamul layl, praying in the night, the month of Ramadan. And we know that it has a great importance. One of the first verses that were revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam were Ya ayyuhal muzammil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, oh, you, the one who is covering himself with clothing. This is after he had seen Jibreel alayhi salam when he came down to give him the message. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. O you who have covered yourself with clothing, stand in the light except a little. Meaning pray most of the night, except a little. Half of it or less than that. Or increase, pray more than half, and recite the Quran as it should be recited. For verily we are going to reveal upon you heavy words, the Quran. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam needed to be prepared. He needed to be conditioned to receive the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of that conditioning was the prayer of the night. This is the greatest of creation. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Who is above the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Who is more guided and more perfectly created than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Yet he was told by the Prophet, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stand in the night. Pray in the night. You need to, because we're about to reveal, bring down some heavy words. This Quran, in order to be benefited from, in order to be believed in and acted upon, you needed to be prepped for that. And we only need to look at our own state with the Quran to see what benefit we have attained from the Quran. You know, sometimes people have antiques, right? Or things, you know, that they have been passed down from their ancestors or from generation to generation. And perhaps the first generation will understand the importance of this artifact or antique or something special. But as it gets passed down, the later generations, they might look at it and say, you know, what a piece of junk. I don't need this. What is this? And only when it is taken to a qualified person, to a knowledgeable person, will they find out that this is of tremendous value. This is a priceless artifact or an antique. And the parable here is that even though the Quran is above that, that yes, we might recite the Quran especially in the month of Ramadan, the month that the Quran was revealed in, but we might not benefit from it. Our situation might not change. Our iman might not increase. Because we are not conditioned. We have not prepared ourselves to take in this heavy, heavy words, these heavy words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected him from sin, he is infallible, he would stand in the night as it is narrated until his feet would swell. Could you imagine the length of standing before your feet start to swell? You probably need to walk the whole day, and you know you still might not be, your feet might still not be swollen. You might be, you know, you might have a couple of hours in you. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would stand, and the length of his standing would, this would be the result. And so, Ya Rasulullah, why do you do this? Why do you stand in the night when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you your sins? He's forgiving. You don't need to stand in the night. Why are you doing it? So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, replied, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا? Shall I not be a thankful slave? A grateful slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And it's narrated in Muslim that Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu once prayed with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Qiyam al-Layl. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam started to recite Surah Al-Baqarah. And so Hudhayfa, you know, he says in the narration, says that, I thought, you know, he would recite Surah Al-Baqarah and then he would make ruku'. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam finished with Surah Al-Baqarah. He finished with Surah Al-Baqarah, then he started Surah Al-Nisa. And he finished Surah Al-Nisa, and then he started Surah Ali Imran. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, there was not a place in that recitation except if there was good, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that good. And if there was evil, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from that. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, as narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, he stood up with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for Qiyam once. And he says that I was fighting with myself not to sit down and not to leave the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. For the length of the salah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the dedication, the contentment that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam found in this salah in the night, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged others to perform this. Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, he says that when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came to Medina, one of the first things that I heard from him, أيها الناس أفشوا السلام وأطعموا الطعام وصلوا والناس نيام تدخلوا الجنة بسلام. O people, spread salam, increase salam amongst yourselves. Give salam. Whenever you see someone, give salam. It's never repetitive or redundant. Give salam. And feed the people. Feed the people. And last but not least, and pray in the night when the people are sleeping, you will enter the Jannah in peace. This is one of the first things. He just arrived to Medina. And this is his advice to the people. This is the guidance he had for the people. This is the importance. This shows, highlights the importance of Qiyamul Layl. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he praises his righteous servants. And he says, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. The righteous servants are those that sleep very little in the night. Very little. Their biggest fear and worry is not to get their 8 hours of sleep. No, it's to get their salah in, their prayer in, their qiyam in. And this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attaches this description to the righteous. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And in the pre-dawn or the time before Fajr, they are seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By Allah, how will you be seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if your heart is heedless of the importance of Qiyamul Layl? How would you utilize that time before Fajr to ask Allah for forgiveness if you do not understand the importance of standing in the prayer, in the night prayer, to seek the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's why they're coupled. Because the people that do qiyam, most likely and most often, they are seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, we might set our alarms, wake up before Fajr to make dua. Maybe wake up to pray Fajr. May Allah forgive us all. We have our shortcomings. We have our sins. But the idea here is to condition ourselves, to train ourselves for what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has conveyed to us out of guidance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To reap the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for His righteous servants. Now, this is the status or the importance and significance of Qiyam outside of Ramadan. Now, you take that and you add it to what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said about Qiyam in Ramadan. مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Whoever observes Ramadan in prayer, in Taraweeh, out of faith, sincerity in faith, and hopefulness of the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his past sins. This is a great hadith. Ramadan is not just abstaining from food and drink and anything that nullifies the fast. No, not for the believer, not for the righteous person. It is more than that. It is an increase in righteous actions. It is to utilize and capitalize on this month with things that we know, with actions, acts of worship that we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with. According to the prophetic tradition, the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And you'll notice that the other hadith about fasting is this worded the same. Has the same wording. The only difference is sama, qama. That's the only difference. Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. Whoever fasts Ramadan whoever fasts Ramadan with sincerity in faith and out of hopefulness in the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared, his past sins will be forgiven. So make the connection here. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us, if you fast with sincere belief and hoping for that reward, then Allah will forgive you your sins. And what are we required? What is the obligation in Ramadan? To fast, correct? That's what we're obligated to do as Muslims. We have to abstain from any food, drink, and anything that nullifies the fast from Fajr until the sunset. So then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam uses the same wordings for Qiyam. Even though Qiyam is not an obligation, it is a sunnah act. It's an act that is recommended. Yet the reward here is the same. And so when you do an action, when you increase in an action in a time of obligation or in a time where you're required to do an action that is pleasing to Allah, the reward is greater. Just like It's harder for you to fast, yet you fast. The reward will be greater because of the hardship that you face. And so it stands to reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase those who do acts, extra and voluntary acts, in a time where they are fulfilling an obligation. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ramadan is a special time. It is the time of qiyam and siyam. It's the time where we are fasting and we are standing in prayer for the mercy of Allah, seeking that mercy, seeking that jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As narrated by At-Tirmidhi and others, and it is a sound hadith as classified by Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam once came to the pulpit, and as he stepped on the first step, he said, Ameen. And then he stepped on the second step and he said, Ameen. And then he stepped on the third step. So the companions were wondering what was the Prophet, what was he saying Ameen to? What was the reason? So he told them that Jibreel came to me. And he said, Raghma anf, rajulin dakhala alayhi Ramadan, thumma salakha, قَبْلَ أَنْ يُغْفَرَ لَهُ. Humiliated is the person that observes Ramadan and is not forgiven. Humiliated is that person. That was the first Ameen. The second was, humiliated is the person who I am mentioned, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is mentioned, and he does not send peace and blessings upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And the third Ameen was for the person that is not obedient to his parents and he does not enter Jannah due to that. Humiliated is he as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know, has utaqa in the month of Ramadan. People that he sets free. People that he saves from the hellfire. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said Ameen to the dua of Jibreel. He said Ameen to the dua of Jibreel. And we know the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is accepted. To the one who observes Ramadan, he's there. He goes to the masjid. You know, he's fasting and he's praying the taraweeh and he's doing all of that. But he is not forgiven. Whether it be a lack of sincerity or a lack of adherence to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or sins that overwhelm his good acts. Allahu a'lam. But in this month, in order for us to attain this status, to be from those who are freed from the hellfire, we have to increase in good. No one here, not myself or anyone, can show me a guarantee from last year, from last Ramadan, that they were freed from the hellfire, that they were saved from the hellfire. If so, please materialize it, bring it forth. What are you doing special? Let us know. No one. So how can we enter in a month and say it will suffice us to just fast, do the bare minimum, and by the will of Allah, by the mercy of Allah, we will be forgiven, we will enter Jannah. That is not enough. Yes, we trust in the mercy of Allah and rely on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we must put forth action. We have to substantiate that belief that we have. And Qiyam Ramadan, the fasting in Ramadan, and Qiyam, the standing in prayer in Ramadan, will strengthen our hujjah, will strengthen our case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, you said the one who fasts and stands in prayer. I fasted, and not only that, I did more than the obligation. I stood in prayer. I prayed the Taraweeh. I shortened the invites and all of that food and, you know, spending so much time in the kitchen and inviting so many people. And yes, there's good in all of that. But that was not at the expense of me praying Taraweeh every night. Of attaining that reward that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam so vigorously told us about. So strongly did himself and encouraged us to do. And I know it's hard. It's difficult. It's difficult. When Ramadan comes, you have long days. You're working, you know, 8 hours, maybe less, maybe more. It's hot. You're fasting, you know, 18 hours or more. It's difficult. It's difficult. It's hard. But it takes strive and takes struggle. The companion Handala, as narrated in Sahih Muslim, he came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he came and he was saying, Nafaqa Handala, Nafaqa Handala. Handala has committed hypocrisy. Handala is a hypocrite. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, how so? What do you mean? How did you commit hypocrisy? How are you a hypocrite? So he said, Handala said, radiallahu anhu, when we were with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, our iman is so high. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us about Jannah. He's telling us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's always reminding us. And our iman, you know, is high, and we believe, and we have this certainty. And once we leave the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we joke around and we play around and we have fun and games, and this worried Handala. Why? Because an nifaq, hypocrisy, is to show something that is different. It does not conform to what is in the heart. That's the apparent nifaq, the apparent hypocrisy. So he says, when we're the Prophet, we're so touched and we're so moved and we're crying and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Jannah and all this good. But when we leave the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, our situation is totally different. So this is hypocrisy. Why are we not in that same state when we're with our families, with our children, with the people? And so there's something wrong here. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, I have the same problem. I have the same issue. This is troubling. You know, we're talking about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The one with the strongest iman after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, from the ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Such conviction. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had praised him. And it stood up for him. We know the status of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He didn't say to Handala, chill, calm down, okay? Iman, you know, some days you have more iman, sometimes you have less iman, sometimes, you know, it's good, you're doing good, it's okay, it's the shaitan, and it's not a problem. You know, just try to rectify, try to change your ways. And no, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he heard this, he said, wait, I have the same problem. Let's go to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Let's go solve our problem. The Prophet is amongst us. Let's go and ask him and get to the bottom of this. We might be munafiqeen. We might be hypocrites. These are the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It did not matter to him that he was close to the Prophet or he was praised by the Prophet. No. So they went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Handala told the Prophet ﷺ, when we are with you, You remind us of Allah and you describe Jannah to us, and it's as if we can see it. And the Prophet ﷺ was given eloquence in speech. He can say a few words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him in, that, you know, take volumes and volumes to break down and to understand and to define. So could you imagine when the Prophet ﷺ is telling them of the rewards of Jannah? The trees that have golden trunks, and the pearls, and the palaces, and, you know, the grout that's made out of misk, and the brick of gold, and the brick of silver, and, you know, when the Prophet is describing Jannah, it's as if they can see it, and so they are so moved, and so he tells them, when we're with you, this is the case. When we go, you know, when we go to our families and our children around, and we have fun and we play around, and it doesn't conform to how we act with you. So this is nifaq. We nafaqa handala. Nafaqa handala. He's telling the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, I've committed a I'm a hypocrite. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام responded and he said, if you were in this, if you were like this, like how you are with me outside, meaning with your families and with your children, then the angels would have met you in the roads to greet you and in your homes. If you were in the same, you know, situation, or this, you had the same feelings when you were with me as you were outside, meaning you were a perfect slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet reminds you of something, you start crying. The Prophet tells you of something, you're joyous, you're happy. If this was the case outside, then the angels will meet you in the roads and in your homes to greet you. You'll be amongst the angels. The angels don't sin, they don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he told Handala radiallahu anhu, sa'atan wa sa'a, sa'atan wa sa'a. The literal translation, an hour and an hour. Meaning, an hour you are like this with me, and an hour you are as you are with your families, with your children, with amongst the people. And this is how we are created. This is how we were constructed. We are predisposed to having fun and enjoying ourselves. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. Everyone. And this is proof from what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is saying. You cannot be as you are with me all the time. You can't. It's against the nature of humans, of how we were created. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and intrinsically there's a proportion in our hearts for fun and games and laughs and being happy and joking around and messing about. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. And this is not from me. This is what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is conveying to us. This is normal. Whoever tries to contradict that without the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be overpowered. That's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, la yamillu Allah hatta tamillu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not get bored. He does not get bored from your worship until you become bored. Until you become bored. Until, you know, I've been doing this, I want to do something else. And Zainab bint Jahsh, radiallahu anha, she used to pray in the masjid of the Prophet, alayhi salam, a lot. And so one day the Prophet ﷺ came in and he found a rope. So he asked, what is this doing here? What is this rope? Who does it belong to? So they told him that it belongs to Zainab radiallahu anha. Whenever her feet cannot hold her anymore on praying, on qiyam, she would use the rope to alleviate the pressure and the stress on her legs. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told them to take the rope off, to remove the rope. And he said, do from worship or from ibadah what you are able to bear. What you can bear, what you're able to do. Now, a lot of you here probably saying, okay, wait, we're talking about qiyam and how we should pray qiyam in Ramadan and how we should, you know, be keen on it and heedful of the rewards of qiyam so we can get the mercy of Allah. Why are we talking about the nature of our nature, how we're created? Right? Somebody might say, wait, so you're telling people don't pray, right? If you're going to have some fun and relax and, you know, enjoy yourself. But the point here, my dear brothers and respected sisters, is to understand ourselves so that we are able to rectify our shortcomings so we can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we know that we are predisposed to relax and have fun and enjoy ourselves, when we know this, we know how to rectify this, we know how to train ourselves to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and increasing in qiyamul layl, in increasing in good actions and standing in night, in the night prayer. And we have a couple of weeks left. We have a couple of weeks left. And throughout Ramadan, inshallah, we will all be praying taraweeh and standing in the night for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will help us. How so? Because when we know this is our nature, we also know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because he is considerate to this fact, he said, أحب الأعمال ما دام وإن قل. The most beloved of acts, of actions, are those actions that the servant is consistent on doing. He's always doing them. He's always persistent on these actions. Even if this action is little, it's small. It's a small action. Small action. And we can implement this in Qiyamul Layl. Since we know that we're prone to other things like relaxing after a long, hard day's work, fasting and kicking back and just taking a breather. When we know this and we understand our nature and take the advice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we will train ourselves to do little qiyam, but we are consistent on it. So then when Ramadan comes, we are encouraged, and after Ramadan, it becomes a habit. Becomes a habit. So no one here needs to stand for all of the night. If you can, alhamdulillah, that's good. But we know that we have shortcomings. So we can be consistent on praying 11 raka'at. We know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prayed 11 raka'at. An authentic narration. So if every day we pray 11 raka'at, every day we pray 11, and whenever we are feeling a boost in our iman, we read what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows. Whenever our iman is low, and everybody has good days and bad days, depending on the circumstances, Whenever our iman is low, we still do the 11 raka'at, but we can recite one verse. Just, if you think of it, one chapter. What are you going to be finished in, done in 15 minutes, 20 minutes? If you read one verse, just one verse. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. One verse. But the important point here is that even if your iman is low, you are not leaving a great worship with great reward because you are tired or because you cannot stand half of the night or a third of the night or the majority of the night. Rather, we are consistent on praying the salah, the qiyam al-layl, until it becomes a habit. And with the increase of good, then we start to feel the sweetness of ibadah, of the worship, here your nature to enjoy. So when you want to have fun, what do? You go and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That becomes your relaxation time. That becomes your fun. That becomes your joy. It's about understanding ourselves. And so the formula is simple. We know we need to enjoy, have fun, and all of that. So the more we get closer to Allah on a consistent basis, that worship becomes in itself joy. And now we have overridden our predisposed nature to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might say, yeah, in theory it sounds, yeah, it's, you know, hunkadory, it's good. But no, in practice as well. Because this is what the companions did. This is what the righteous predecessors did. Nobody stood in the night from the first day reciting the whole Quran. People built up to that, reciting a couple of ajza, you know, a couple, 10, 20, and then got to a point where they can recite the Quran in one night. And that was their joy. Consistency. If we were to take the Atlantic Ocean, if we were to gather every drop of the Atlantic Ocean and somehow able to move it and throw it at the Rocky Mountains, the Atlantic Ocean, pick it up, or the, you know, the Pacific maybe a bit closer, and throw it at the Rocky Mountains, what will happen? It'll get a nice wash, right? Is it going to move the mountain? Is the water going to move the mountain? Theoretically, water comes down. Is it going to move mountains? No, it's just going to wash it. Maybe wash the snow off the tops of the mountain. You know, it'll be shiny and nice and clean, right? But if you were to take a rock, and put it under a faucet and turn the tap on to one drop, just one drop, and leave it like that for some time. That little drop, because of its consistency, because of its persistence, will make a hole through that rock. It will make a hole through that rock. We're not like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, where we're inclined to good and to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. But that is why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave us the guidance that we need so we can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is befitting of our shortcomings. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he would sleep to the point where you would hear his shakhir, his ghatit, which is his snoring. And so he would get up and he would pray. If any of us, we went to sleep and we started snoring, we surely have to make wudu. There's no disagreement on that. But when Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that my eyes sleep, but my heart does not. My heart does not sleep. And so,
through the guidance of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, through what he had instructed us to do, from what we are able to bear, we can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in this blessed month, in Ramadan. Attain the benefits and the rewards of fasting and standing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the whole point of fasting, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may attain taqwa, so that you may attain that barrier that you can place between you and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the whole point. That is why part of fasting is leaving off al-qawlu al-zur, the lying and the cursing and the slander and the backbiting and anything, abstaining from anything by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, we are just hungry for no reason and sleepless for no reason. And we do not want to be in that situation. And that is why we have to look at how we can increase our worship, not how we can do the bare minimum. We want the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we want all the roads that lead to that, whatever it may be. And that is why it is not important if it's regarded as wajib or sunnah. The important thing is that we are doing it. We know the ruling. We know that the Prophet ﷺ said this is wajib, or we know that the ulama said that this is wajib because the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to do it. As for other things, it's recommended. We know those rulings. But the important part here is doing these actions regardless of their rulings so that we can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, my dear brothers and respected sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength to stand in the prayer, in the night prayer, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to train ourselves to pray even if it's a short prayer, even if each rak'ah is one verse. But we are consistent on Qiyamul Layl. We make it a habit before Ramadan, and in Ramadan, because of the rewards that we want to attain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make it imperative that we attend the Taraweeh, and we invite our families and our neighbors and our friends and advise the Muslims to join us in Taraweeh and not miss the Taraweeh for some socialization or some food or something you can do the rest of the year. Something you can do when Ramadan passes. This is a time that is limited, a time that passes quickly. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength to fast and stand in the month of Ramadan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Ramadan and to give us the ability to get closer to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala khairi khalqillah, nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa man wala. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah bless you all.